Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, this is Jamie Shogun, host of Webcomics Reviews and Interviews. Today, we're talking with Anubis from the Bloodbound webcomic. So sit back, relax, and let the Geek Fest begin. Now it's your turn.
Thank you. G'day, my name's Anubis. I am the creator, writer, artist, human resources manager, and total idiot who tried to create a webcomic in 2006 that was supposed to last about 6 months worth of TNA, and somehow in 2019 it's still going on, and I don't know where the TNA went.
I take it there's a major art change since the beginning?
No, there seems to be a bit of a change in the direction of the comic. I was going to do it simply as a way of relieving a bit of loneliness, and I was young, and for some reason, instead of going the way I intended, it developed into its own story, and the characters ended up getting names when they weren't going to be named. The story ended up becoming more complex when it was just simply going to be a very quick and easy little bit of fun for me to relieve some stress. And somehow it became the most major stress in my life.
Sounds like kids.
Sometimes I feel like they are.
All right, just because, how would you describe Bloodbound?
I wouldn't. But if you put me on the spot, I would put it as a story taken out of the whole the monsters are hidden amongst humanity type thing, but I left out the humanity. So instead of having it from the human's point of view, like you see so many times, humans basically are just the background slash food slash entertainment slash whatever. And I concentrated largely on the creatures that are existing in their own society amongst us. It's one of the criticisms I've gotten in the past is the fact I did it from the quote monsters end quote point of view rather than actually having humans being the major part of the comic. But quite frankly, we've seen enough of that sort of stuff, and I wanted the creatures, the inhumans, as they're referred to in the comic, to actually take center stage instead of just being the antagonists for the human heroes.
Well, that's a shame. I mean, like, I agree totally. I mean, we've seen way too... It's nice to see a comic that's actually based on the monster point of view.
And then I turned around and tried to make the monsters as normal as possible. They have family, they have friendships, they go to work, they deal with everything that a human would deal with. It's just, it's the non-humans that are dealing with them. Some things are a little bit more extreme. I have put religion in there. Each particular species has their own religion. I base their religions loosely on different religions that humans have. The humans are atomists, so they worship Adam, so we can guess where that came from. Vampires have Lilith. There's Nyx for the succubi and the incubi, and that's all based on different things. And I've got various different species of different religions of creatures. You've got the weres, who... basically the werewolves, one of the characters who was originally in a self-insert, and he's developed his own personality and traits. I am not afraid to say I inserted myself into the comic, and then he ran away and did his own thing.
Man, I hate when characters do that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like you lose control of the story. As I said, it was supposed to be 6 months and basically pin-up shots. And I have no idea what happened.
No. Just because it looks like, first off, yeah, there's been a lot of interesting characters in there. And for something that definitely was started off as a pinup, definitely went south, so to speak.
No, it would not sell as a pinup. In fact, when I do have nudity in there, the nudity is portrayed as being ordinary. People waking up and getting out of bed, they're not looking good, their hair's scruffy. I almost completely desexualized their nudity as much as I possibly can and made it look like when a person wakes up in the morning, perhaps they sleep with nothing on and they're just going to the toilet. And that's basically how I tried to portray it as much as I can.
Yeah, it definitely worked. I mean, like you pointed out, there is a lot of nudity, but it isn't, it's not like a Cinemax type of thing where it's basically we're trying to be ultra sexy type of deal.
Yes, I tried to avoid that.
So, and like I said, character, and from what I've been reading of the comics, definitely been getting a little bit more complicated as far as the plotting goes.
Unfortunately, yes, it gets a bit complex for me, and I lose the plot. It's at the point now where I'm looking over the fence and watching what they're doing, writing it down, running back to the computer, and trying to create it.
So I'm guessing sometimes you feel like you're a little bit behind on the story then.
Yeah, sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I have plots and storylines which go nowhere, and I have to try and fight to find some way of finishing it so that, you know, we can move on. And I've had a couple of cases where I look back and I see, like, a chapter, and I think to myself, that really does not work at all. But it's still on there, and still the archives are still there, and I'm very slowly going through my entire archive and redoing it, and new software packages that I've got to recomposite all of the old stuff into the new format so it can be printed again.
How much have you printed so far?
I did 3 comics about 10 years ago. I've got copies of them myself. They're no longer for sale. The art in them is bad. The spelling is bad. And everything's getting redone. There's been minor changes to things that have happened. Some pages have been literally removed because they were unnecessary. It's one of the good things about webcomic is you can go back and change it. Especially if something you want to bring up in a comic which should have been referenced to in a previous comic somewhere 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago, you can sneak back, add that, upload it. Oh, it's been there all the time.
Yeah, you got to love that feature to it.
Yeah, so that's one of the good things about having it on the web is I can retroactively edit something into it so that I can sort of sneakily claim that that was always there. I don't know what you're talking about. But as soon as it's all finished and edited all and put into Clip Studio Pro properly, I can then perhaps print a big version of it and give it to a couple of people who have been helping me with all of this and, of course, have my own copy and turn around and say, look, I'm a printed comic artist. Aren't I wonderful? Even though I had it printed myself.
I don't really see that as a major issue anymore. I mean, it's sort of like you used to have like the vanity presses of way back when, and now since everybody's using some variation of print on demand, it's just...
Yeah, that's what I did originally was a print on demand. I did Kablam was my print on demand company, and I'd be going back to them again because they do a really, really good job with printing work and helping out with any issues that they may pop up and any pages. So when I did print way back when, they actually said, hey, can you redo this page a little bit because it's affecting our printing. It doesn't seem to fit properly, and I was able to fix it. And they were really helpful. So I love Kablam for print on demand.
Have you thought about reusing somebody else, or?
I did once try a different company, and I, for the life of me, can't remember what it was called, but they were long, slow, expensive, and I haven't really researched any others since I used Kablam, because I've not been printing for at least 10 years. But I keep an eye on Kablam to make sure it's still, like, going.
Yeah. I think out of the various printers, print-on-demand service I've seen, I definitely would recommend it for comics.
Yeah. So. I would not recommend them for a novel, but for comics and for graphic novels, yeah, they seem to be doing a really good job with that. And they will help you with the changes with ISBN numbers, and they have their own online store that you can sell through, and that way you can get a couple more issues sort of printed and sent out to wonderful people who decide that they like your work and are willing to spend a reasonable amount of money for it.
No, I mean, just because you might want to also check out Lulu, but that's because they tend to have a little bit wider range in terms of printing options.
And I think I looked at Lulu again about 10, 12 years ago. That's as far as I went back then. It would be something I may look at again if and or when I actually decide to bring it all together into one volume.
Yeah, I mean, as far as comic goes, Kablam is definitely the place to go. We won't talk about Amazon.
Yeah, I downloaded their software for comic book stuff, and I love Amazon. They are a wonderful company for getting some wonderful stuff, but no. They're not going to print my stuff.
Yeah, I think my major issue is they don't have saddle stitches an option available.
Well, when I actually combine everything, I mean, there's, at the moment, there's, what, 700-odd pages worth of comic? And Settle Stitch would definitely not be an option for trying to put that together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for most comics, it pretty much is. So.
Yeah. Well, my smaller comics, it was definitely done with Settle Stitch.
Have you tried to any local comic book shops or anything like that?
I did when I was living in Australia. I actually had some sold through a store in Adelaide, and I had a Gothic store in Melbourne who was interested. That was quite a few years ago. Because I haven't been continuing the printing process, I've not been going through to any of the local stores where I am now, especially since I've moved to the United States. I barely have enough time to actually make the comic itself rather than also trying to do everything else.
The obvious question is, how's the financing for the comic going then?
I pay for everything. The amount of money I get through patrons helps pay a little bit, but I do self-hosting and all that sort of stuff. All the assets I use, most of that comes out of my own pocket. So it comes out of working where I'm working, as well as a little bit from my wonderful patrons.
Yeah, but I hate asking you, but what's your expenses for the comic on a monthly basis?
Let's see.
Or annual, however you prefer.
It's at least $1,000 to $1,500 a year worth of expenses. So it's not overly much, but when you're a low-income person like me, it can be quite expensive.
Right.
That's including hosting and SSL and all that sort of wonderful stuff, and acquiring assets, software upgrades, hardware especially. It really can be quite hard on the hardware. I do my comic as an unusual mixture of 2 and 3D put together. I sort of do a 2.5D system, so I have to acquire more assets through that, because I actually have difficulty with drawing and with a little bit of brain damage that I've got, so that's why I use another software to actually help with the art itself.
You mentioned something like, do you use Daz3D a lot?
I use Daz3D, and I use Clip Studio Pro.
So a lot of your comic is is created through the DAZ 3D program with a little bit of added extra, and there's only a little bit from you actually drawing in there then.
There's a fair amount of me actually trying to draw in there, try being the operative word, particularly with effects, compositing, and all that sort of stuff. DAZ 3D gives you a very nice cel-shading for the figures. I use my own materials for the actual flesh and all that sort of stuff, so I had to design all that myself. From there, I went and it gets composited in, so I may use other assets. I then have to re-rig and re-skin everything, so all that's done manually as well, including some work in Photoshop to try and organize things, because you know, something will look really, really good in color that they've actually done, and when you actually render it, and then you've got to desaturate it because everything's in color for all the backgrounds and stuff, and it doesn't come out looking that pleasing. I've got to go through and reorganize all of that. It's sometimes doing a page can be very, very quick. Other times doing a page could take me a week and a half.
And just because there's absolutely, I don't think there should be any problem with you doing your own, using a computer program in order to do the art, because there's plenty of comics out there that do it. Most notably, House of Muses by Pam Harrison.
Yes. I looked at that, and there is a lot of comics out there that use Daz Studio or use Poser, and a lot of them look good, but I don't want mine to look exactly the same as all of them. That's why I've created a sort of manga-ish feel to it by having a different form of materials, different forms of cell shading, to try and create a semi-drawn yet 3D-ish look to it.
Definitely. I mean, you've got basically black and white cell shading with a little bit of splashes of color every so often.
Yes. I did that to start off with when I first started. And then someone turned around and says, "Oh, did you go see that movie Sin City?" And I said, "What is Sin City?" They said, "Oh, they do the same sort of thing. It's all black and white with a little piece of color." You copying them? Never heard of it.
Yeah, we hit my... And you hit my, I hate cinephiles who have absolutely no background in cinema.
Well, I've still not seen that movie.
First off, you should. Fun movie. I mean, if you don't mind a little bit of violence, and yeah, just a little bit of violence, it's a pretty good movie. But it's Frank Miller, so.
I don't mind violence. It doesn't offend me much. It's kind of like Beauty.
Right.
Yes, it's not that offensive.
So,
I'm teasing. No, I haven't seen it. It is on my bucket list, for want of a better phrase. But at the moment, I'm all kaijuing at the moment.
You have a favorite monster?
Reptar.
Cool. Wait.
You're trying to figure out, where's Reptar from?
I actually know that Reptar is from. That's why you wait. What?
Hey, he's the coolest kaiju ever. It's Reptar. Reptar on ice. The best thing ever.
That's where I was afraid of that. Admittedly, I've got a Rodan thing going on, but that's more of an in-joke at this point.
I'm a big fan of the classic Godzilla movies. Everything from the 1954 all the way up to now, except for, of course, 1998. That was horrifying, and not in a fun way.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of mistakes as far as the kaiju theater thing goes.
And the latest two American ones, the legendary ones, were absolutely excellent. And what annoys me is when people turn around and says, "Oh, there's too much humans involved." If they actually watch the Toho Godzilla movies, the kaiju are the basis of the human action. The humans are there to react to and try to deal with the situation. And there's a lot of human happening and very little Godzilla running around, especially in the 1954 version and the early versions. It's all about the people trying to deal with the situation. And they've done the same thing, especially with King of the Monsters. It was humans trying to deal with a situation that is caused by the kaiju.
Right.
And that is the essence of the Godzilla movies. Humans trying to deal with the situation.
And what's really
or
cool
react to.
Yeah, and if you didn't have the humans, you wouldn't actually have the emotions you get from the kaiju. Godzilla would just simply be a massive force of destruction, and that pretty much was it.
Except for when he's playing soccer with Rodan by headbutting boulders to each other and bitching about how humans keep it annoying and teasing them.
Jeez, Godzilla has such a career for him.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, yeah, we won't talk about the cartoons.
There's a really funny little series on the Toho where Toho's YouTube. It's Go Go Godzilla. It's got a puppet Godzilla and his two sons.
Oh no, he's got two of them now.
Well, he's always had two of them. It's from different movies. He's had two different sons. One of them was from that movie where it was a little boy basically dreaming about what's happening on Monster Island. And then there was the one that they actually did feature as his son. But it's got both of them. And, oh, it's exactly what you would expect from a title known as Go Go Gojira.
Jeez.
And it is brilliant.
Yeah, I hate borrowing a term from a different person, but... Yeah, Monster Island is the, oh my gosh, there's a Kenny in charge movie. I assume you know who Gamera is, right?
Yes, yes.
You know the annoying kid that seems to be part of every Gamera movie?
Yeah, not personally, I've never met him.
As long as you know the character. Yeah, these are...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, there's reference to any kid in a kaiju character. Any kid in a kaiju movie has been given the blanket term of Kenny because of Kenjiro from the Gamera movies.
Mm.
That's the annoying kid that basically gives all the exposition and tries to get the monster to help.
Yeah. At least it's not named after Kenny from South Park.
True. So, just out of curiosity, why did you pick the non-monster viewpoint, or just to do something different?
It just happened organically. When I actually started, I'd seen a beautiful painting by an artist, Victoria something or other. It was a wonderful vampire painting with vampire girls on her knees. She was looking up. She could see the sorrow in her face. And I decided I just wanted to see if I can try and make something similar to that. And that's where Ginny, the main vampire, came from, was me trying to do this painting. And then I just thought, oh, I love it. I'll make a little bit of a comic. And, you know, I was young and having thoughts and urges, so I decided I'll make a comic of that particular style. And that didn't happen, and it just seemed to, that the only people I was adding seemed to be different in humans, and how then I started working out how the Inhumans would actually be living. So they ended up with jobs, they ended up with houses, mortgages, insurance, you know, all the wonderful stuff that we have to deal with in our own typical lives. And, you know, why I watched Blade and all that sort of stuff, and the vampires are running multi-million dollar corporate evil entities and stuff like that. And I was sort of, would they really be? Or, because wouldn't that actually become under scrutiny from the humans a bit eventually? Or would they just be living at home with their other halves, raising their kids, trying to make a crust and generally keeping out of the way except for when it's hunting season?
Right. Yeah, I think I've seen the actual argument that it'd be a lot easier to become a millionaire as a vampire than it would be a regular person. Mainly because of the dietary advantages, if nothing else.
Yeah, it'd probably be easier to become one, but it's also easier to be noticed if you are one.
I mean, basically, you'd be able to throw up a lot of anonymity shields. You could even make it look like you're your own heir after a little while.
The amount of people that get involved in anything that requires effort becomes noticeable, because there's always evidence left behind. But the least amount of effort, it's easier to hide.
It is interesting to note that your Inhumans do have their own methods of eliminating traces.
Yes, I stole that from a episode of Forever Night. The vampires there have their similar method of removing traces of when a human may know too much. I can't remember which episode it was, but I do remember that sort of like a little team went out to remove evidence, including people who may have be part of that evidence.
And all of a sudden, I like the webcomic a lot more.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. First off, I'm a big, huge Forever Night fan.
I am too.
The other catch is that I was worried that you'd cribbed a lot from the Vampire the Masquerade art role-playing game.
Never played it, never read it, don't know anything about it.
So much the better. Nothing against the game. Don't get me wrong, it's a great game. It's just, it tends to be a little silly in a lot of regards.
No, I actually avoid watching, reading, or having anything to do with vampires for the last, 13 years? Since 2006, I avoid just about everything, especially new vampire things. So don't ask me about Twilight. I only know that I made a joke about it in the comic. I don't know anything about modern vampire mythologies that are running around, because I avoid it, because I don't want to accidentally steal, borrow anything without, because people get upset about that sort of stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
So I created my own, but they're not, they have powers, but they're biological creatures. They're born. They make love. They get married. They die. They are what they are.
Yeah, no, you've highlighted some of the interesting background features. We won't talk about Sassy's mom and what she has going on.
Well, she's suffering from a slight case of, you'll find out if you haven't got that far yet.
Obviously, if I'm paraphrasing the title for the chapter.
Oh, yes, that's right. There's been so many chapters, I've forgotten half of them named.
I think you actually used the Wayne's mom.
Yes, I did. Actually, the funny thing was, I was actually thinking of an animation done where they changed it to Mishi's mom or something along those lines, where it's this cat girl who's getting angry that her three male friends are sort of ogling her mum, and the mum is definitely not doing anything to help. It was a very fun little animation, and they started off with just editing the name for the first time. I can't remember exactly what the name is, but it's so fun. But that's what I was thinking of when I actually did that one. But it's supposed to indicate that the succubi are by nature what they are. They have those needs, but they are...
What's really cool is you've aggressively gone against type in a lot of ways. I mean, in a lot of horror movies with succubi, you tend to see them take on, shall we say, a lot of the lower class elements, especially like tattoos.
Well, Sassy's got a tattoo.
Oh, I know she has a tattoo.
Yeah, that was a bit of a rebellion. Rather significant rebellion against her mum.
Yeah, especially in succubi don't have tattoos.
As a rule, in my world, no. Their body is perfect. A tattoo would be an imperfection.
No. This is opposed to the current thing, which is basically put tattoos all over them. So.
Yes, I wanted to go the opposite way. They view... A lot of the succubi are... what's the word I'm looking for? Supremacists.
Yeah, that's putting it nicely.
It's a matriarchal society, so the incubi are the subservient group, and the succubi are the dominant group. A lot of them are supremacists in regards to how they view also other species. So Sassy being involved with a vampire, which is technically a hybrid from earlier on, from millennia ago, a hybridization between human and demon. So they're not even pure-blooded anything.
Right.
The whole idea was early on, there was the capacity for interbreeding. And one of those interbreeding species actually managed to be viable. And that was between human and succubus, or QB anyway, the QB species. And that formed the original vampires. They had the bloodthirstiness of humans, because humans are notoriously bloodthirsty, with the abilities and the ability of N-space, which is I took from somewhere, of the demons to be able to, you know, fold their wings back into their back and into a pocket dimension, all that sort of wonderful stuff. It's magic. So see me.
Magic is always a legitimate excuse.
Yes, I did sort of make a joke about that as well in one of my little Q&As about how the wings disappear into the backs. And I think Jenny goes on a long spiel about N-space, and I actually just copy-pasted something from a physics book and put her over the top of it and had Sassy sort of interrupt and say, look, just say it's magic.
We won't talk about Hammer Space. Jeez, I know looks like there's a big gap somewhere. I mean, I obviously, like I said, I'm just going through the archives, and I'm about two-thirds of the way, and it looks like, especially if you've got current versions, it looks like there's some sort of huge gap between, I'm guessing, at this point, like 2009 and 2018.
Okay, let me go to my archive. Oh, wrong archive. That's a Anubis Dreams archive.
It's basically what I'm noticing is there was either one heck of a slowdown in terms of updates, or...
Oh, there was a time when I burnt out. I completely burnt out for a while, and I actually stopped. I was at one stage trying to do two or three comics a week, and back then I had a bit more time to do that sort of thing. Nowadays, not so much. So getting one done a week is sort of what I do. Sometimes I might try and do one and a half so I can try and make a bit of a buffer. I'm trying to find... Where is my archive? There it is. So 2001.
And like I said, I'm randomly guessing. I think I'm 2009 right now.
Okay, so there we go. Ceci's mom. That's just after you find out about Alexa.
Yeah.
I liked Alexa.
In fact, I'm in the Dreamseeker chapter right now.
Ah, yes.
March 4th, 2009.
Gotta love that. Yeah, let's see. 2010? There was I've had a few times when I've actually had to take a break. Also, back then, I'm working on redoing some of those pages to the new system that I've got. What I was using originally was GIMP.
Right.
GIMP is a wonderful piece of software. I recommend it to everyone. However, you'll notice that the early pages are all with nice white gutters, and then they suddenly turns to black gutters, and then, turns back to white gutters again. You see how far through I've gotten with trying to redo everything and get it all. Then I went from GIMP. I got a copy of Manga Studio 4. I got the professional version of that one. That was not a cheap option. And then I upgraded that to Manga Studio 5, which then decided to change its name to Clip Studio Pro EX. And that's what I'm using now, and it works wonders. It's an absolutely wonderful piece of software for compositing, drawing, compositing, artwork, anything like that. It's an absolutely excellent piece of software. I recommend it over even Photoshop.
Sorry, it's really rare to see somebody get Photoshop get second place to pretty much anything.
Well, I do use Photoshop on occasion. But when it comes to actually the comic artwork, it's because Clip Studio Pro can do everything like chapters, so I'm able to actually organize my chapters and actually have them as a set file structure. It absolutely makes life a lot easier for me.
Yeah, backtracking by half a step for the six people in the universe who don't know. GIMP is basically the free version of Photoshop, which has all the functionality, but lacks a little bit in the organization.
It is ugly but effective.
Basically, yeah. No question of that. GIMP's one of those cool tools for people who are trying to figure out how to use to get some sort of image manipulation going, but can't afford the full Photoshop experience.
Yeah, pretty much. It can do most everything that Photoshop can do. It's extendable, it's expandable, it's free, so it's open source. It's just a very ugly piece of software to use. It does take a bit of a learning curve to try and figure out where everything is, but for the amount that you pay, it does a really good job.
And pre-interview, I mentioned there was something of a little bit of an interesting debate. One of the things that pops up every so often in superhero debates is that you've got the question of who was derived from who type of situation. And with the vampires, it's sort of interesting because you've got them, even though you've got a lot of people tend to get real think that Dracula was like the first major vampire, it's actually a character called Camarilla. Way back in the 1800s.
Cool.
Who was a lesbian vampire.
Really nice that works. Thinking. I like it.
No, I was just curious if you were aware how far back you think vampires go.
Well, if you look into mythologies, vampires have been part of human mythology since as far back as anyone can really remember. There's always been some form of vampirism in mythology, whether it's literal sucking of blood, all the way back to the sucking of the life forces, all the way through to that sort of thing. So there's mythology going back to some place when an ape-like human poked his head above the grass and found another ape-like human looking like he's got nothing left in him, or her, or it, or whatever.
Right. I thought it was very interesting that, by the way, you have different levels of life force sucking in your comic.
Well, the succubi use more of the arousal, and that sort of can drain a person fairly much, and they can take it to the extreme as a form. Like, there's one where a guy goes into what looks like a blood donating thing and he doesn't come out again, but he actually dies with a smile on his face.
Yeah, I believe Crux Enterprises or something like that.
The Red Crooks. Basically, a takeoff with the Red Cross.
Yeah, basically, I believe your version has it. People go in, give a little bit of blood, get a little bit of money for it,
and leave.
And part of that's contributed to local hospitals, but the majority of it is kept by the vampires.
Yeah. So it gives it a legitimacy.
The fun part, of course, is that you do have the couple of people who, as you noted, don't leave.
But they don't die upset.
Definitely not, especially since basically they just it's not exactly a major spoiler, so I can get away with it. Is that basically you go in there, some of the people are, shall we say, have an experience with a succubus. And she basically drains her entire life force, and the rest of the body can be used for whatever they need it to be used for.
Yeah, they got a massive pump system they can pump the blood out with, and the rest of it can be made into food for the wares. And that way they can sort of reduce the predation.
Yeah, I thought it was a rather clever system, actually.
And there's plenty of homeless people around. That's why the way they look at it. Humans are a self-propagating renewable resource.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting that the various inhumans basically don't really care too much for humans in general.
I'll work with them as needed. But they avoid them as much as necessary and predate on them when required.
And Sassy definitely has a fun way of preying on them.
Yeah, she doesn't take it too far, which probably annoys her mother.
Nonetheless, she is rather effective at it.
Yes. And taking a little bit out of many is just as good as taking a lot out of one.
Well, all right, well, any closing thoughts on the webcomic?
Well, I have no idea where my webcomic is going. As I said, I started it in 2006, and it's still going in 2019. I have a rough idea of what I'm hoping will happen, and I'm not going to give too much away on that one. Other than that, I hope people will enjoy it for what it is. We'll be able to see my many, many flaws in it and not be too harsh on it, because trust me, I'm a lot harsher than you are in regards to my flaws in this comic. And just enjoy it for what it is. It's not supposed to be deep and meaningful. It's not supposed to stir great feelings. It's just supposed to be something a little different, a little bit of fun, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of titillation, a little bit of confusion, a lot of confusion on my part, and enjoy themselves with it.
Cool. And basically, I guess this is the obligatory go ahead and have fun with the plug.
Okay, well, Bloodbound is at bloodboundcomic.com. Jump in, put a couple of dollars in the patron if you think that I'm doing a half-decent job, or you can feed one of the cute little abominations on PayPal, and if you don't know what one of the abominations are, you'll find them in the comic. They're absolutely gorgeous, cutie little pies. I absolutely love my little abominations.
And of course, my obligatory plug is that if you like what you're hearing and you want to see more of it, please support me at my Patreon at Two Sparrows, T-W-O, and I guess we'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And thanks for having you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.